Well, for this segment of the morning, we focus our attention on matters coming out of Africa. Here in the Southern African region, of course, our focus being on a cyclone. Now, Tropical Storm Eloise leaving a trail of destruction as it made landfall on Beira. Well, let's also include Madagascar. Limited damage, noting that the cyclone passed over the northern part of Madagascar, the bulk of the population, and Antananarivo being in the south. But Beira being in the storm's way, with many thousands being rendered homeless. And this is on the back of a series of tropical storms and cyclones that have struck the area in the last decade or so, making landfall or arriving in South Africa in the last, 24 to 36 hours ago, also leaving a trail of destruction. Many may say not as impacting as what one might have expected, but nonetheless, indeed, a source of concern for many in the NGO and in the local community. Also, on the political front, Uganda making headlines here in South Africa and of course, in Uganda itself. And we'll talk about Africa-related matters in a moment. And we say assalamu alaikum to Dr. Mustafa Mita, head of Africa Desk at Media Review Network, or the MRN. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Mustafa.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, Maulana. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, doing well, and shukran jazakumullah khairan for joining us, Dr. Mustafa. You know, Dr. Mustafa, before we go into the discussion of today, I mean, last week, the sad passing and news of the passing away of Uncle Ibrahim Vauda, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur and grant him, the best of darajat in the akhirah. Indeed, a pleasure always having him and talking to him on radio, and I'm sure the Media Review Network team has sustained a great loss by losing Uncle Ibrahim.
Oh yes, Maulana, thank you very much for your sentiments, and me on behalf of Media Review Network, I can only tell you that Media Review Network is poorer without Mr. Vauda. He was an extraordinary man. Extraordinary man, a God-fearing someone, and I learned a lot, from him. And at the moment, I know the moods at Media Review Network at the moment are very, very low, and we are still in mourning. Yes, we are still in mourning. But the best way to mourn Uncle Ibrahim Vauda is to continue his fight for justice. He was a freedom fighter for justice. Justice in Palestine, justice in Kashmir, justice in the Arab world, justice in Africa, justice in South Africa, justice in Zimbabwe, justice all over. He fought against any injustice wherever he saw it, wherever he perceived it. So that was Uncle Ibrahim Vauda. May he rest in peace, and may Allah, grant him the highest stage in Jannat Firdaus.
Ameen, ameen. Moving on to our discussion, Professor Dr. Mita, the African Union, right, announcing a while back that it wanted to silence the guns by 2020, hoping to achieve continental peace by 2020. How far has the African Union come in this particular mission? I mean, we've seen internal struggles in Ethiopia in the last few weeks, in fact, if not months. We've still seen the issues in West Africa, and of course here in Southern Africa, especially in Cabo Delgado, northern Mozambique. How has the African Union succeeded, or coming close to them succeeding, in silencing many conflicts that are ongoing on the continent?
The African Union, as you may know, set itself a goal of silencing guns on the continent by 2020, and that is last year. We are already past 2020. We are in 2021. But has failed to achieve that goal dismally. Guns are still blazing in the DRC, in Central African Republic. South Sudan, in Somalia, Nigeria, in Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, Ethiopia, Mozambique, and Niger. Instead, there is a potential of new wars coming on board in 2021 between Sudan and Ethiopia, mm-hmm. and Western Sahara and Morocco. You know what happened recently. Before Mr. Trump left office, he created another pretext for a potential, you know, a war in between Morocco and Western Sahara by recognizing that Western Sahara is part of Morocco. So that is a potential. So why is Africa, you know, constantly under such pressures of war? If we look closely at the situations in each country, it tells us a story of foreign interference and manipulation, so that they gain access, you know, to our resources and loot. So these wars are not just wars, you know, for the sake of wanting people to kill themselves and things like that. Mainly, there is something that they want, you know, they want to obstruct Africans, and then, you know, there is something that they are after, and then they can loot in the midst of that confusion. So, yes, if you ask me the question, and even President Ramaphosa, who is the chair of African Union, knows clearly, very well, that they have failed. And in actual fact, there's a potential of, you know, many wars coming on board in 2021.
Professor, I mean, you know, we've seen this for decades now, and, you know, we've already seen it from the 50s and 60s as African countries got their independence, foreign interference, especially by the previous colonizers. You have France in Mali, Mauritania, you have even Belgium that has played a major role in the DRC, and then other former colonial powers playing a major role in the continent. What needs to be done? I mean, do Africans need to rise up against their current leadership and install local, natural leadership, or what's going to be the ultimate solution to the continent?
To me, like you rightly put it, Maulana, is that, you know, with this problem that we have, the problem that we're talking about now, our leadership is partly to blame, definitely. Mm. Our leadership, the current crop of leadership that we have on the continent, is partly to blame. Because most of them are in bed with the enemy. You know, they are in bed with the enemy, and you will find that in most cases, even some of our leaders are actually part and parcel of the problem of looting, you know, the resources of the people. Joining, you know, hands, you know, with these former colonial masters. Yes, we know that when colonialism ended, neocolonialism immediately started, and we know what neocolonialism is, and the agenda is simply the same like what they had during colonial, you know, the actual colonialism. But what they've done this time around is simply that they've given power back to the Africans, so you will not see a white man in ruling in Africa. If he's there, he's part of the team, but mainly that team is led by Africans. So but in actual fact, you know, they call the shots. They tell the current, you know, crop of leadership what to do. And this is a problem. It's getting to a point where I think it will soon reach a boiling, you know, point. And And the current youths that we have on the continent might one day rise. Of course, we are not calling upon them to rise against, you know, the government. No, we are not calling upon them, you know, to rise. But we are saying, with the current, you know, failures of the crop of leadership that is leading now, and poverty and lack of jobs and all these kind of things, the youths might one day, you know, rise, and we can see, of course, definitely a second revolution going on the continent of Africa to remove these, you know, stooges that do not listen to the people, the stooges that don't have the people's, you know, problems at heart.
So Dr. Mustafa,
it would, yeah.
Yes, Dr. Mustafa, moving on to a specific issue of the Ugandan elections. Now, we've seen scenes coming out of Uganda that voter tampering and the, well, you could say a house arrest of Bobby Wine and his family. And that's still ongoing in Uganda. We've seen a president that's there for a long, long time. Some say has the support of people, but others say being propped up by the military and other, you know, the elite of the country. What are we to make of the Ugandan elections, and is this a lesson for us in South Africa that, you know, if you're not careful, you're heading that way?
Oh yes, definitely. And the Ugandan situation is a repeat of the Zimbabwean situation. And all I can tell you, my brother, is that the project of democracy on the continent is not going anywhere. It is not going anywhere of, you know, democratizing the African continent. It's not going anywhere. It's one step forward, one step backwards. One step forward, one step backwards. This is what is happening. And, you know, I don't know really. President Museveni fought oppression in his country, and he ascended to power, brought about peace in that country, which was so divided, and a lot of killings. I remember there was a time when there was a change of government almost every week, every other week or month in Uganda, coup after coup, and death. You know, people were just dying like flies. But when he came, fine, he did something good. He has developed the country. I remember visiting there sometime last year in January. January, around this time, I was there visiting. And development, you can see. There is some form of development that he did. But the point is, he has been in power for too long now. And why can't he find, you know, someone, you know, to hand over and say, continue, you know, with the what called? No. They will not do that, because these very people are servants of, you know, their imperial masters. And until and when their masters tell them that, okay, now you can leave, or in most cases, they will be discarded by their own masters and, you know, face destruction sometimes. You know, they can be protected. Sometimes, you know, they are left, you know, to die their own, you know, death there. So this, I think, is what President Museveni is doing, because why arrest, you know, that young man? You have won the election. If you say you have won the elections free and fair, why arrest him? Leave him. You know, leave him. If he wants to take people on the streets, allow him to take people on the streets and ensure that there is no violence. As long as they demonstrate peacefully, it's their democratic right. But we will not do that. And there will be a lot of killings. Just before the elections, you know how many people killed. a lot of people were killed for demonstrating that time when he was they had arrested the young man. You know, I don't know much about this young man. I don't know whether he has, you know, the potential to be a leader and things like that. That is up to the Ugandan people to choose whoever they want. And but I think, you know, President Museveni, gracefully, he should, you know, leave power now and give, you know, a hand over the reins of power to some young people to take over and continue building Uganda, you know, on the path that he has started. He would go down in history as a hero. But African leaders don't want to, you know, don't want that. Always in the end, they must mess things. In the end, they must mess things. You know what happened in Zimbabwe across here. A very well-known freedom fighter, a man who had the respect, commanded the respect of all the world, Robert Mugabe. You know, he had to be forced to leave power, refusing to leave power. You know, so all the good that he did, at the end, they don't count to nothing. Shame. I hope, you know, he realizes soon.
Dr. Mustafa Mehta, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International with the Africa Report. And Allah Ta'ala keep you well, inshallah, for your insights and your wisdom. Hoping to talk to you sometime in the future. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.